And with that, a 2-1 series lead was secured for the Boston Red Sox last night in Houston. Hi, Zo.
Morning.
Love that sweatshirt today.
A lot of sports. You like that?
Love that.
Check that back.
Looking good, kid.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Let's go Minutemen.
That's nice.
Yes. Oh, that's one of the nicest sweatshirts I've had. Thank you.
Ever.
Thank you.
All time.
Very nice.
It's an all-timer.
It is.
It's like Hardy's Spartans one that he breaks out once or twice a year.
Oh, it's thick.
Nice and thick. Yeah, warm.
Yes.
There you go.
Nice.
Nice material. That's going to last you a long time.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Even Hardy says it's nice.
You're telling you get one.
And Hardy knows quality when he sees it.
Yes.
It's the pro weave. It's nice.
Pro weave. It's a pro weave.
Pro weave. In and out. Yeah.
Red Sox win last night. Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh.
Make sure that they win. It wasn't a game-winning home run.
You knew it was going to happen.
But he made sure that they won.
No, you knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen because Adam Jones is such an a-hole. And I just went right to Jones' thread. He's like, stop tweeting me, people. I'm trying to watch the Celtics game. And he's just the natural negativity and the deferment of him. I don't know. It's just, I just love when people get on Jones. It's funny.
I tweeted a guy from Canada who has the username on Twitter at Adam Jones.
Yeah.
People are like, hey, Beetle, wrong guy. And I'm like, Jones, oh, wait a minute.
Jones starts with, yeah, wait to pad the runs and not put the pressure on Kimbrel.
I thought when I did at Adam Jones, maybe I'd get the Baltimore Orioles outfielder. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I must have tweeted the outfielder in Baltimore.
Yeah.
No, it's some guy from like Ontario. Dad, computer nerd.
That's probably a nice guy.
You know, one of those typical Twitter bios where they have to tell you they're a dad.
Yeah.
Dad,
husband,
father,
son, father of two,
sandwich aficionado,
lover of life.
So unique. That is so
sports aficionado.
Witty. That Twitter bio of yours is so damn witty.
Lover of boats and craft beer.
I love summer.
Shut up.
Alcohol lover. Liver of life.
I think a craft
liver
beer.
Liver of life.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it's some random guy in Canada.
Oh, we got a lot
that I tweeted
to
when Jackie Bradley Jr. hit that grand slam last night. And I tweet that like I have never said anything bad about Jackie Bradley Jr. I think Jackie Bradley Jr. sucks.
Before that, yeah, of course he does. And he still
does. I'm not a fan.
He still does. And I tweet and I texted you guys this on our text string before he even hit that home run. It was after the Pierce one. And I'm like, they're middle of the average road type guys, like lower level players, are carrying their ass through the playoffs. Like, they're big, high price. You know, the two MVP candidates haven't done crap, for what it's worth, really. I mean, I know Betts had a couple RBIs, but nothing like what Jackie Bradley did or Brock Holt or the bomb that Pierce hit. Pierce hit that ball farther than JD did in game one against Yankees.
Can you imagine this, though?
You know what I mean? The pitchers? Like, it's Eovaldi.
Jackie Bradley Jr. has four hits in the postseason, and it's like, oh, give him an MVP! Give it to him,
well,
and you're
be,
like, "Well, look at the rest
MVP
of the lineup. What the hell have they done?
You could do a lot. You could do a lot of stuff, and I can get past a lot of stuff.
Right.
The thing with Eck, I'll never get past. I'll never root for him.
Right.
The photo.
Oh, the photo.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even weigh that.
It's such a weaselly snake move.
I'd say if you're the Red Sox,
I don't even factor that in when I don't think he's very good because I don't think he's very good.
No, I don't think he's very good either. I think he did a really good thing last night, and I think you know if they end up winning this thing, he'll make his contributions. But I can't root for the guy.
It's offensively that he has the issues.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not defensively. I think his issues offensively prohibit him from being an everyday major league player.
Sell high. And I know Jones is tweeting, sell high. I know you can't do it. If I'm the Red Sox, I'm working the phones today, trying to dump his ass.
But how about just that home run itself? Man, he crushed that ball.
He got all of it.
He got every last bit of that baseball.
Reddick didn't even, like, he turned and just watched it.
And put it out of the ballpark.
Left it up in the zone
a little bit. Again, not a game-winning home run, but insurance home run.
Oh, yeah. It
helped
Kimbrel. A lot of insurance.
It helped Kimbrel not crap his pants.
It changed the whole dynamic of the game. The whole situation was changed with that one at bat.
You can relax as a pitcher. It's not as tight.
Okay, relax as a viewer.
What's your favorite thing to
do all these things?
Yes, my favorite thing
from last night
is Nathan Eovaldi and his performance last night. Yeah. Because you want to talk about MVPs this postseason, there's your guy. There's the guy you give it to. With the issues with Sale, the issues with Price that are not injury related, just related to him being a pitcher in the playoffs, Nathan Eovaldi has been a guy on that pitching staff that has really provided the stability that they are not getting from the guys at the top. He's gone third in each of these series, and he has been a huge stabilizing force for this team. If, right now, if you're asking me to pick my Red Sox playoff MVP, it's Nathan Eovaldi. It absolutely is.
My takeaway from last
night. He threw more curveballs last night than I think I've ever seen him throw.
The Heat. Still, you know, see, you're thinking, okay, this guy's not going to make seven innings. No way. We're going back and forth, third inning. That first inning, the second inning, the amount of pitches he threw. I don't want to say he was laboring, but yeah, he was laboring.
He threw a lot of those high
98, 99.
Those high heaters.
High smoke.
He didn't really get them to bite on it.
No, but they were still there. Sixth inning, man. I mean, he's still throwing smoke. I thought he pitched well.
Yeah,
my biggest takeaway last night.
I'm not concerned about him throwing heat. Like, guys throw heat late. The announcers for the sport of baseball.
Chrisell couldn't. David Price can't.
Make way too much. Yeah, but Sale's hurt.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's a sign that he's hurt.
This is something that is an advantage.
But
for you.
I just think that when you have guys that throw the heat late, it's like, oh, it's in the sixth inning and Verlander's still throwing up at night. Yeah, so what?
Game was in Texas yesterday.
So what? Is he hitting the spots? That's far more difficult to do in the sixth and seventh inning than throw the gas. Like, oh, wind it up and throw the gas. You've been pitching for five innings. You're loose. Of course you can throw fast at that point.
How much of that broadcast?
That's so overrated.
How much of that broadcast?
And these TBS broadcasters have been just fawning over that this entire postseason. He's still throwing gas. So far more impressive last night is that Nathan Eovaldi lived on the outside half of the plate to right-handed batters. I looked up the chart last night after the game. You know that you can go to Brooks Baseball, which I love. It's real, real stat, geeky, nerdy baseball
that
site. Like,
that's the nerdiest thing you've ever said.
And I'm gonna put the image up on Twitter
now.
It's cool. I'm gonna put the chart up so you can see it.
But you did it.
I saved it.
You did it after the Benintendi thing got called out. After he got called out, right? That's one of those.
No, that's an MLB one. That's like for everyone everyone can like visualize the batter
right
next to the plate, and you can see the ballpark. It's a nice little graphic. This one, Zoe, I'll show it to you right now. It looks like this.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
It's like one of those images. Yeah.
I don't think you can see that on TV.
It's like a gun range.
But it's just
like I did that
all
gun,
it is.
Gun range, or you could shoot paper.
Is the chart, man. Shit. That's all it is. Lived on that outer half.
Nailed it. Huh?
He was fabulous.
Nathan
Eovaldi was so good last night.
I got an image that is so ingrained in my mind from last night.
He's my MVP.
It is the only thing, the only time. During whether it was divisional series or league championship series where I stopped my TV and I just went back and I just rewound it and I rewound it and I rewound it. And it was David Price raking the mound in the bullpen. I'm like, this is what it's come to. You got Nathan Eovaldi pitching his ass off out there. And here he is out there going to rake the dirt and put it around the mound. I can't wait for Jim Murray at 2:00 today. I tweeted that right away. I said, this is something that I need and I need it more than air. Like, what are you doing? What's he doing out there raking? Is that common? Is that what pitchers do, or does the ground screw do that? I'm gonna make sure my foot hits. I don't want it to slide. I might have to throw a bullpen. I might have to give Skip, an inning. That was the funniest thing I saw last night.
Okay.
And it's just ingrained in me.
Well, back to the game itself.
I mean, Pierce, too, on his stretches, great. Terrible third. Your third base is an issue with both guys. And I know at least Devers gives you the bat. But, my God, Bregman is such a better player than anything you got at third. Like he was a Bregman. Was
oh
a stud
God!
Last
defensively,
night.
They are superior to the Red Sox. That's been made obvious.
To throw.
Okay,
second.
You know I believe in like the special, the fairy dust in sports, right?
Yeah, unicorn dust.
Where you get contributions from guys that you just shouldn't be getting major contributions from. I think Jackie Bradley's home run last night qualifies. I think it does. It's the makings of a special season. It's Johnny Gomes 2.0. Things like that.
Where okay, I
you
get okay, I understand
contributions
yeah.
from places you don't really expect them from.
Yeah.
Nathan Eovaldi. Who was going into this postseason saying Nathan Eovaldi is going to be the guy?
Dombrowski.
Well, no, he was hoping that Nathan Eovaldi would be the guy, but who was actually believing that? Who was putting the faith that, Eovaldi is going to be the guy who really stabilizes things in the pitching rotation.
Not Bregman. Not Bregman.
That.
He was tweeting out videos.
Nobody.
He was tweeting out videos and putting them on Instagram.
Funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah,
where were the back-to-back-to-back home runs last night?
I was waiting for him. I thought we were going to get one or two, but we didn't get one.
You got a fastball-hitting team that got choked out with a bunch of curveballs last night. He threw, like 15 of his pitches. I'll double-check it. He choked
them. Else, too.
That's what he did.
Joe West was really good behind the plate last night.
He was the most consistent strike zone I've seen this entire playoffs. In fact,
he was nailing it.
I looked
you thought, oh, that's borderline. Nope.
Wasn't close. I looked up the charts on this last night, too. He was impeccable.
Good for him.
He was he was good.
Was it the first batter of the game, though? He gave Eovaldi that third pitch that was like way outside, or was it? It was a key spot. There was 2-0, and he gave Eovaldi that outside strike, and I was starting to think, uh-oh, I hope Eovaldi doesn't lose control here.
Very, very consistent strike. I told you before this game, I told you before the series, Joe West's issues are not with him actually calling the game. His issues are with his personality, his image. He gets too involved. He gets too emotional. It is not with how he does the job. I will stand by that. That's why I don't put him in that top three that a lot of people do. My two bad ones are Buckner and Martinez. You can all put Joe West in there, but if you watch last night, you know that Joe West is not a bad umpire. You know that. Very, very consistent. All right, let's talk some baseball here in this first hour. There's other things to get to. Are the Astros cheating? That's a real thing going on right now. Story broke last night. Danny Picard was the first to have it. Did the Astros cheat in the first game of this series at Fenway Park? We'll get to the details of that, talk more about this game. Is Jackie Bradley's home run the sign of a special team? I'm starting to believe that, and Nathan Eovaldi was absolutely fabulous last night. I'm starting to really like this Eovaldi fella. 617-779-0985. We will talk some Celtics later on this hour as well. It's Zolak and Bertrand after another day, another night with a couple of Boston wins.
Miss something?
That's what happens now.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's home for sports.
MLB has acknowledged that they're looking into a matter at Fenway Park of the Astros using a camera near your dugout. Are you aware of any of that?
Somebody mentioned it to me right now. I think that's an MLB issue. You know, they'll do what they have to do, but I just heard it today.
Did you have any concerns that signs were being stolen or anything like that?
I'm always concerned about that throughout the season. So, I mean, we do a good job changing sequences and paying attention to details. And, you know, we don't get caught up on the whole paranoia thing of the signs. So, you know, we try to slow it down. And if we feel there's something going on, we switch the signs.
Did you think there was anything going on in those first two games?
No, not that I know.
You know, I completely forgot to mention something earlier in the week that I thought really was interesting as it relates to Alex Cora in this series.
How'd you forget that?
Don't mock me. Come on now. Don't mock me.
Get into this. Go ahead. What'd you forget to say?
That in game one, Alex Cora asked for the catcher's mitt to be checked for foreign substances over on the Houston side of things. Did you catch this?
No.
Jim, did you see this on TV? It was in between innings, and they came back with it on credit to TBS. They missed most of the game. At least they caught this thing. And that is Cora asking for the umpires, hey, why don't you go over and check the catcher's mitt over there?
Interesting sight here between innings. So they were looking at the catcher's mitt, Maldonado's mitt. That's Joe West, the crew chief. Boy, the home plate umpire. I mean, you would have to guess that they're checking for a foreign substance.
Yeah, I mean, the way he's rubbing in a palm, it's almost like he's checking for pine tar or that kind of something sticky.
It's going to be one of those series. There's going to be a lot of check the ball, check the glove, step out,
read the rule book.
Where are the cameras? I mean, this is a series of paranoia for these two managers.
So after the game, it was stated that that was not Alex Cora who had asked for it. That it was just Joe West who wanted to check the mitt. To which I say, bull crap.
Right, which means
I don't buy that for a second.
Why would Joe West think that if he wasn't alerted to it? And I texted you this last night once that report came out. We'll get to that report.
Right.
But the institutional knowledge, the Eric Mangini factor of...
Yes.
I was in Houston. I know how they do it down there. Okay? And obviously, I did the Belichick thing Friday night. Joe Torre was there, and he was talking about this Friday night about, hey, it's been going on in baseball for a long time, the stealing of signals and just trying to get advantage. He goes, there's nothing you can do about it. We police it, but it's always going to be part of the game, and people just need to deal with it, which is true. I mean, you're checking for pine tar in the catcher's mitt?
So this
does that help the ball stick more?
Because last week we got some calls. Oh, do you think the institutional knowledge might help, right?
It's still baseball, though. It's one-on-one.
No, I don't, except for in cheating, right? when you cheat, and every team has their ways of cheating.
Of course you do.
Everyone knows each other's dirty secrets.
Yeah, see, people are going to freak out.
I mean, we went through
this
with the Bullfrog stuff and the Blue Jays and Buchholz and all that.
What about Aroldis Chapman? Was that a Chapman that had the big goop on his neck? Was that him for the Yankees?
No. It was, damn it.
What was Jim, the Yankee pitcher had the big...
Who got thrown out?
The big, like, massive chunk of goop on his neck.
It was Michael Pineda.
Michael Pineda. Thank you. Suspended 10 games. That was Michael Pineda who had that happen.
Tom.
And it was loud.
Nice work on the mic.
Jesus, Tom. 2014. Eat the mic next time.
2014 was when that happened.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. I was playing back because Ben from NBC Sports Boston pointed out that he mentioned this in the clip that we just played.
Step out. Read the rule book. Where are the cameras?
Where are the cameras?
The announcers mentioned it.
Yeah.
In game one.
But
I mean, it's like Belichick says. There's 80,000 people in the stadium that could see it or film it, right?
But when you say the where are the cameras, you typically think it's the home team that has the cameras, not the road team. But anyway, I just want to wrap this thought up on the McCutcher's thing.
Where's one hidden in the
wall?
I
don't think Joe West came up with that on his own. I don't think that he just all of a sudden knew, oh, you know what? Let me go look at Maldonado's mitt. No. Yeah. So Cora may not have requested it in-game, but you know how these managers work umpires. How they talk, chat them up before the game.
Yeah,
hey, Joe, how you been? Hey, I just want to – listen, I don't know what's going on, but during the series, hey – Maldonado likes to keep a bunch of crap on his catcher's mitt. It's how he makes the ball a mess.
Tito called one of our guys. You know, Pedroia was talking to Tito.
Over there, it's the catcher that does this, not their pitcher. So keep an eye out for that. Oh, okay.
It's one of those deals. I don't know if there was anything in the glove, obviously, but it affected Maldonado because he's been terrible blocking balls in the dirt. Like, he's just not been himself. He's supposed to be a gold glove catcher. And balls are getting by him left and right.
So there was that, and I don't believe that it was just the umpire wanting to bring it up. I think managers have influence, and they drop dimes is what happens there. Then there was this. This is it's on the Metro site, Boston Metro, Danny Picard writing for the Metro. He says in his story last night, whatever the Houston Astros were trying to do at Fenway Park during game one of the ALCS on Saturday night, they got caught. In the third inning of the first game of the series, security removed a man claiming to be an Astros employee from the media credentialed area next to the Red Sox dugout, according to multiple security sources who were on the scene at the time of the incident.
Scarnecchia's kid?
The man had a small camera and was texting frequently, but did not have a media credential. Wow, this sounds like a guy from Kraft Sports Productions at MetLife Stadium.
A man.
The old Meadowlands. After the man was removed, another Astros staffer intervened, according to sources who were on the scene, and tried to convince security that he was authorized to be in the area next to the dugout. The man was not allowed back into the credentialed area, but was allowed to remain in the ballpark. Security sources say they had been warned about the man because of some suspicious activity in Houston's ALDS series against the Cleveland Indians. It's unclear as to whether or not that warning came from Major League Baseball or the Red Sox. MLB Chief Communications Officer Pat Courtney acknowledged Saturday night's incident in an email on Tuesday afternoon, saying, "We are aware of the matter and it will be handled internally." When presented with the details of the incident and the warning given to security heading into game one, a Red Sox spokesman said on Tuesday, "It's an MLB matter, so no one from the Red Sox would be commenting." An Astros spokesman responded to several emails about the incident, but did not deny any of the specific details provided. A request for comment was also made to the Cleveland Indians. After being asked about the man claiming to be an Astros employee and the warning given to the Red Sox, an Indian spokesman said through email on Tuesday, "We are not going to comment on this situation." Picard wrote, "There has been no denial by Major League Baseball, the Red Sox, Astros, or Indians regarding the incident or any of the aforementioned details." So they had a guy in the, I suppose, the camera well, down there holding a little camera, texting on his phone, right next to the Red Sox dugout. That's how bad that cheating is from them. That is brazen. You're on the road. This isn't the home team installing an extra camera out in center field.
Yeah, sometimes when it's more in your face, like, you don't see it. You know, you're looking for all the hidden ones, you know? Where's the little secret ones? No, we're just going to do it right in front of your face.
So there is now a, there's, this is what I love. Joel Sherman last night had some tweets about this, and it's been tweeted out by others as well. But the thing is now that he claims that Major League Baseball is not thinking that it's a big deal, right? Because, he was down there to make sure that the Red Sox weren't illegally using a video monitor in their dugout. That he was down there checking if the Red Sox were cheating. That's all he was doing. Lies.
Jeff Passan has the whole timeline of this and the story behind this guy. I don't know if you want to do it now.
No, I want to get to this. It's a guy named Kyle MacLachlan.
Yes.
That's who he is. They've identified who the guy is. He's not listed as an actual Astros employee.
No. And the Indians warned the Red Sox about him. This is according to Passan, about a man named Kyle MacLachlan taking pictures of their dugout for the Astros. MLB also looked into an August incident in which Oakland alleged an Astros sign-stealing scheme. So, as you said, Beetle, not listed publicly as an Astros employee, but photos obtained by Yahoo Sports show him wearing an Astros ID badge and flying on a private plane with an Astros logo.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Was he on a team charter? Because this could, you could easily figure out, if you're traveling with the team, you're part of what they do.
In the first picture, passing post, he says he's posing with Astros owner Jim Crane. Plane also includes logos of two of Crane's businesses. On his Instagram account, MacLachlan used to list the Houston Astros in his biography. Earlier tonight, he deleted them from his bio. Also,
so now he doesn't want to be known as a guy who works for
also
the Astros.
The A's called MLB because they believed Houston was stealing signals and relaying them to the field using hand claps.
Back in August.
During the late August series.
So this guy was in a series in August, and the A's were onto him and said, this guy is relaying signals.
Yeah, there's photos of him doing it.
Unreal. Unbelievable. I mean, that is...
I wonder they have home.
That's
runs.
A bold new way of cheating and stealing signals. Put a guy, put a spy right next to the opposing team's dugout.
But have him wear a suit. Doesn't.
Yeah, just blend.
It looks like.
Look important.
Kind of looks like maybe a network or a team executive just snapping photos of the day.
Well, my favorite part is that he's in one picture that Jeff Passan posted. He's down there tinkering with what appears to be audio equipment. there's a microphone.
I think that's just
there,
the,
but is he?
He's in the foreground. It's
and he's shielding his phone. Is he taking a picture with his phone there?
He is. He's holding his phone. He's holding a hand up in front of his phone, so you can't really see what he's doing. But I think he's well away from that audio equipment. It's just
okay.
You're
right, because it's on the top. It's on the top of the.
It was a team that got busted for the computer hacking too back in the day. Was that?
That was the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
They were
right?
Hacking the Astros.
Yeah.
The former team that Jeff Lunau, the GM of the Astros, worked for was the Cardinals before he went to the Astros.
Yeah. Interesting. This guy's got all, I mean, listen, every team's done it. The Red Sox did it with their Apple Watches last year.
Right.
I don't think they were doing anything as brazen as this, but wow. I'm sort of impressed. I'm sort of impressed that he was able to do this. 617-779-0985.
I'd be more upset with your home security, you know, for not being tighter. Good luck trying to do this down at Gillette. Like, you can't go anywhere without your credential. You know, the fact that he didn't have a credential when he was in there is amazing. Like, you're right there looking in the dugout, peering right in the dugout.
Now, would Bird be tasked with keeping people away from the dugout?
Yeah, would it be Dorito Dink that would be...
No, I'm talking about Bird Fenway.
Oh, that Bird.
No, he just sits there and I stare out looking for trouble out in the crowd. And then whoever doesn't want to drink their beers, my buddy, he works the beer thing, and we get extra beers at the end of the night if the beers are not drunk.
Let's get headlines with Hardy, and we'll come back with your baseball calls on last night's game and the Astros and their cheating scandal, which I think is sort of impressive. More thoughts on that next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox now up 2-1 in their best of seven ALCS with the Astros with an 8-2 win in Houston last night. Alex Cora, what do you think about, you know, what other people think?
We really don't get caught up on what people think about us outside the clubhouse. You know, we've been very consistent at staying, you know, within those walls. Mm-hmm. One thing I told him is from training, do not let the circumstances around you dictate who you guys are. And so far, they're taking care of business.
Tonight, it's game four. Charlie Morton goes for the Astros. Red Sox answer with Rick Porcello. They've got the late game. First pitch at 8:39, which means the Dodgers and Brewers go early, 5:05. Dodgers beat the Brewers 2-1 in 13 innings last night to even the NLCS at two games each. Celtics over the Sixers to kick off the NBA regular season last night, 105-87. Jason Tatum led the Green with 23 points. Next up, they'll visit the Raptors on Friday night. And the Bruins take on the Flames in Calgary tonight. First night of back-to-backs. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the call on the Bruins Radio Network, driven by the all-wheel drive Honda Pilot.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ken, on the right.
AJ, you said after game two, anyone who thought they were going to roll over after game one is crazy. Right. Like they're just showing the world now that you don't win 108 games by accident. Just
I don't think we're going to roll over either. So we'll see you back here at 7:09 tomorrow night. We'll be ready to play. Scott in the middle. It's at 7:09, right? 7:39? Oh, yeah. Be here at 7:09 just in case.
AJ Hinch last night. Him and Bregman, the two of them. Can't stand either one of them.
This makes me want to lift weights.
Yeah, we're not going to roll over and die either. No one said you were, but this series obviously looks a little different than last year's. Wouldn't you say, AJ?
That's huge. That's huge win for them last night.
Things look a little different. And by the way,
so we'll see you back here at 7:09 tomorrow night. We'll be ready to play.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have the time, right? Why don't you ask your guy spying on the other dugout? What does he do now? What does this guy Kyle do now that he can't spy? And where is he in the ballpark in Houston? I want to know these things.
Work for the Texans now. Still signals for the Texans. Take care of him.
My thought is that everybody does it. Everybody has their ways of cheating in baseball. It's just sort of part of the game. It is. Not all that fired up over the fact that they cheated, but it is an interesting story.
It is.
It is interesting. Like, wow. And then he's
that's
directly
like a
connected.
Low-level guy. It's like a friend of the owner.
Yeah, he's direct. The fact that he's directly connected to the owner is odd. Someone who is that close to the owner is the one doing the work.
Yeah.
That's different.
It is.
617-779-0985. But also, Jackie Bradley Jr. hitting a home run last night, I think, is a sign of of some special things. I got some tweets on that, including this one from Tree, who said, even before Johnny Gomes, I call it the Mark Bellhorn magic.
He's Johnny Gomes.
Right? There's one. David says, JBJ's grand slam is, you can compare it to Bobby Keelty's home run in the 07 World Series. Out of nowhere and very impactful. I don't know. That was like game four, wasn't it?
I feel like they'd already won by that point.
Yeah. I don't think that home run had that big of an impact, but I remember it happening. But I think it was game four that he hit the home run.
Drew had a big one. Yeah, I mean, there's some guys that are like, you know, they're not superstars.
JD Drew against the Indians.
You know, yeah. But, like, if that's Martinez or Betts that hits that last night in that spot, we're losing our freaking minds today.
Bobby Keelty hit a solo home
Jackie
run.
Jackie Bradley Jr. makes you pump the brakes a little.
In game four, a solo home run against the Rockies in game four of the World Series. They were already up 3-0, and they were crushing the Rockies in that series. So I don't know that I'd put it on the same level. But it is. It's guys that you wouldn't expect it from. Dave is in Haverhill today. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's up, Zoe, Mark?
What's up?
How are you guys doing? Thanks for the time. Hey, just quickly, so I don't know if you sported any Maryland gear this week. I've been working a ton. But they won me a couple of shekels against Scarlet Knights. Thank you. My call is about baseball, though. Dabrowski, Eovaldi, Pierce, big contributors in the biggest time. And the whole cheating baseball thing, everybody cheats. But I got to think Dabrowski, the guy Britt that the Yankees got was a shell of nothing who couldn't find the plate. And I'll leave it at this. I believe the Sox clearly now are the World Series champs.
Okay. Whoa, Dave, slow down. Slow down. Let's not get that far ahead. The part about Dombrowski is a good one, though. Dombrowski didn't go for Zach Britton. He went for Nathan Eovaldi, which has helped this team in a major way. Steve Pierce had the game-winning home run last night, not Jackie Bradley Jr.
That's a big Red Sox fan.
How have we gone this far without mentioning Steve Pierce?
That's played with all those teams in the American League East, and he's a big Red Sox fan. And he used to hang out in Florida and follow the team and go to spring training, and he just loves the Red Sox.
That broadcast
crew annoyed the hell out of me last night.
I would just say this, though. Okay, so the Red Sox got Evaldi. They still never fixed their bullpen.
No. But the bullpen hasn't killed them. That's the one thing. We kept saying the bullpen's going to kill them. It's the average middle-of-the-road Joe Schmo guys that are carrying this team, including the bullpen guys like Joe Kelly. They've been good. They've been really good. Like, your two frontline starters and your closer have been shaky as hell.
Don't you get nervous every time they go out to that match?
Of course you do. And you got Barnes out there warming up. Like, holy crap, here we go.
Let's go to Jim, who's in Taunton. Hey, Jim.
Good phone.
Okay, Jim had a point about Dombrowski as well. Probably the same thing. Mike in Danvers on the security situation and the cheaters in Houston. What do you got?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey. Good.
I need a couple minutes to make a couple points. Now, first of all, I've been calling defending Jackie Bradley all year long because between you guys and the afternoon show, disrespect, complete disrespect for this guy. You're comparing this guy to Bobby Kilty. Jackie Bradley's been there all year.
The moment.
Both love center fielder. All right?
Yeah,
go on.
He's a very good center fielder, which we alluded to.
Now, the second part, I work for Homeland Security, and my question is,
badass.
How does this guy even get into Fenway Park? Where is Fenway Park security? How does a guy with no credentials sit in the photographer's booth? How does that happen?
It's easy. And we covered this. You know, you talk about security at the Super Bowl. There is nothing tighter at the Super Bowl. But the guy that took Brady's jerseys, two of them, just looked the part. He knew how to dress. He knew how to take something and put it on backwards in front of him under his thigh.
He also had a credential.
But it wasn't really a credential. So it was flipped over.
Get to the point where you could sneak past.
You just blend, man. And if you got some kid that's standing there outside the door and you're talking to, hey, how you doing? Good. Excited? Yeah. You could blend, man. You could make yourself blend. It's very difficult to do it at Gillette.
I'll tell you how he got in.
There's 20 checkpoints.
He walked in with the team.
That's it.
He walked in with the team. They got off the bus. That's like saying, how did the players get into the ballpark?
Because they got off the team bus
and they walked into the stadium.
Say you got a high-end executive that's like with the team broadcast. Say the team broadcast crew is down there and you're walking in with the cameras. You're helping the guy carry a bag or something. There's so many ways you could sneak in there. There really are. You know, like the craft sports people that travel with us. Carrying one of their bags. You think I need a credential to follow them with one of the tripods to help them set it up? You don't think the guy there is going to let me in? Of course he is. And then you just stay there. It's pretty simple. It's actually pretty simple. Don't be trying it out there.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's that hard to sneak into a camera while there. You walk through the stands, and then you just step right over the wall into the camera.
And if you don't look like a fan with like a Red Sox or a Houston jersey on with a hat, and you look halfway decently clean and nice haircut, nice suit.
Wearing a suit. Boy, nice suit.
That's an important guy. We got to let him in.
Yeah. That's basically how it goes.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you know how many people snuck onto the field after the Red Sox won the World Series in 2013?
Oh.
Do you know how many people were out there who had no credentials to be out there?
Yeah. A lot.
In fact, I know someone who did that. Watch them do it. I was stunned at how easy it was and how crafty they were at doing it.
I do, too. And she was a girlfriend of a former guy who used to work in the media. And it kind of exploded within the Red Sox once she got inside the actual clubhouse.
617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. We've got a bunch of calls to get to next.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Hey, Google, when did Minute Maid Park open?
Minute Maid Park opened in 2000.
From the Astrodome to Minute Maid Park, and from the dome to the retractable roof, it's the best of both worlds here. I'm a big fan of the roof, as you know.
I love that the Google Assistant is your stat checker. It's checking your stats. Can't be wrong.
I might have jumped the gun on her. I apologize, Google Assistant. Fun baseball here at Minute Maid Park, especially when the crowds are in and it's lively.
Thank you.
Brian Anderson getting on your nerves yet? I know he's getting on Lauf's nerves.
Is that game in Texas last night? Is Nolan Ryan there?
They put about 10,000 in this ballpark for the first two games, 10,000 a night.
Concourse, yeah, and a block party. How much did that crew get stroked the last 2 days down there? Free meals. I stayed at the Ritz downtown. Oh, I love Houston. Barbecue's great.
There is a lot of symmetry between pitchers from Alvin, Texas, and triple-digit fastballs. The same hometown as Nolan Ryan.
It's got to be in the water or something, Brian.
We're bigger down here. Throw harder. Throw faster. Texas, everything's big. Big and hard.
And Ryan Brazier from Wichita Falls, Texas.
You know, hey, I would have preferred, Hardy, I don't know how you felt about this, but I would have liked if Brian Anderson had asked the Google assistant where the closest barbecue joint was. I could have, because Siri, we found out, is not great at giving us the right answer on that.
Not Sizzler.
Maybe Google assistant could figure that out.
Started directing you to a Texas Roadhouse.
No! No, real barbecue! Chuck's Smoke Shop.
Bill's in New Hampshire. Hi, Bill.
Guys, how's it going?
Good.
I got two quick points. Both of them about Zoe being right. Zoe, I can't stand you. Both points, you're right. The announcers last night making a big deal over Reddick's fly ball out there in right field. It was a regular old fly ball he shagged down. Big deal. The other thing.
It was like Mickey Mantle made the play of the year.
Oh, Gold Glover, a former Gold Glover out there. God, right, I'm like,
Jerry Roberts.
Routine fly.
Yeah, in 2012. And the other thing, Fenway security, you're right. Easy. The Nesson booth. I walked right in the Nesson booth, had a photo op with Jerry Remy and Donnie O one day. No one stopped me. I walked in there like I owned the place.
Nice. I feel like that's the case anywhere.
Anybody can.
I don't think it's specific to one place. This guy did it in Oakland. He did it in Cleveland. He pulled it off the other night in Boston. And you could do this in any ballpark in America.
Here's your problem: when it's not a regular season game, and there's so many of it, you just get you kind of roll the eyes when people walking through. You get so many more people for a big game or a playoff game or a Sunday night football game that you know you get crowds of like
not
eight people
that,
trying to come in and just
they were on the lookout for him. They knew he was going to do it. Do you know why I think they probably waited until the third inning? They probably wanted
Let's
to document.
Make sure he does it. Yeah.
They probably were documenting whatever it was he was doing. Like Mr. Cellphone Man was probably being recorded by someone 50 feet behind him. That's what was probably going on Saturday night. They were watching him for the first two innings, documenting what he was doing, and then they said at the top of the third, "Okay, get him the hell out of here." Now we know what he's up to.
Joe Blow, Red Sox investigator with a J.D. Martinez shirt on.
I bet
popcorn
it,
in his hand.
I bet it wasn't a Red Sox guy. I bet it was someone from MLB. That's my thought.
Do you
on
think
this.
He was a hose people? One of those people?
I bet he was a hose people. Yeah. Gammons on Twitter.
We'll get to that.
Gammons. He's something else. He is something else. Here's a Gammons-like tweet that Chris sent us this morning. Jackie Bradley Jr. is like the breeze as the birds migrate south during the signing of the Magna Carta in the daylight savings of 1492.
Someone was getting on him, too.
Like,
after
what?
Something about I was shooting stick, but the we were trying to play eight ball, but the pool ball was black, but now baseball's too white for... He's just going... The stuff that Gammons has opened himself up to is amazing. You go and read these threads with these ridiculous tweets that he has of losing his mind. It's good stuff. Keeps me entertained.
Sean is calling us from Idaho today. Sean.
Hello, and good morning there, gentlemen. I was going to just say this, too.
Potato.
I got one big point to make.
That's potato.
And that is...
Potato. I like them taters.
Anyway, Nathan Eovaldi looked real awesome last night. I mean, Alex Cora is pulling the right moves, and I have a great feeling about tonight's game four. I think Porcello is going to pitch a good game tonight. I think it's going to be close, but I think the Red Sox are going to win, despite the fact that the Astros are getting hit with the scrutiny with their whole cheating scandal.
Mm. This is an interesting part of this. Do you think that they somehow get bothered by the fact that they are going to get asked about this now? Players were probably asked about it last night in their clubhouse. They're probably going to get asked about it again today. There's going to be more media attention after this story came out. All of that.
I mean, if you're part of it and you know it, you know the drill, you handle it well. Look at the spike.
Listen to A.J. Hinch.
You play your ass off.
Listen to A.J. Hinch, how punchy he was after the, like, what? What are you so mad about? Yeah, you know, we're not going to lay over, roll over and die either. What? Dude, it's 2-1. Whoa.
The world now that you don't win 108 games by accident. Just have,
I don't think we're going to roll over either. So we'll see you back here at 7:09 tomorrow night.
Yeah, Texas. Ooh.
The question was basically, the Red Sox are a good team. Are you starting to realize they're a good team? That maybe if you thought that they weren't as good of a team because of what you did in the playoffs last year against them, maybe your opinion has changed a little bit.
Both these managers just like snapped to it with a question. Like that, and then Coors like, yeah, everybody count us out after game two, that divisional series. How that worked out. That's a former player in Cora. That's what I dig about him. Tell us, man, we're here to play. We're here to kick your ass.
What? Just the bravado and, you know, the notion that there's any such thing as momentum in a baseball series in a best of seven. I mean, I fully expected the Astros to win the first game at home.
Yeah, that home park really helped them last night.
Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. with the grand. It's like, no, who's pitching better? You're probably going to win the game. And they're engaging. That I actually like
Keuchel it. Keuchel was awful last
this
night.
Is, it's like the opposite of the NBA. You have no idea who's going to win these games. You really don't. You got to watch them, you know? So it's like, yeah, we're going to get all fired up. I mean, get as fired up as you want.
You'll be
but
here.
But the game will develop, and the game will tell its own story, regardless of how you feel about it going into it. It comes down to one-on-one matchups. And last night, Jackie Bradley Jr.'s grand slam put that thing away. Who would have thought that? Who would have predicted that outcome at any point? They're completely unpredictable, and therefore I just think like the build up to them by the players and managers especially is kind of funny. It's like, well, you can be as fired up as you want. Does it help you to play baseball to be fired up? I don't know. You got to go out there and execute. So it's just different. It's different from other playoff atmospheres. It's not any less exciting. I think it's more so. You have less of an idea as to what's going to go down.
617-779-0985. We will continue with your Red Sox calls all day long, but we are going to get to last night's Celtics game. Their season opener was last night. They got a win over Philadelphia, and Charles Barkley says the Celtics have problems, that there's issues with the Celtics after their win. And we'll hear from Sir Charles coming up right after this.